You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back, my friends. This is the good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in for the final day of the week here for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Program. And I appreciate all of your compliments, your kudos, your praise. And I, like you, am excited to see Tom back in the seat. So definitely stay tuned for that. But today we are going to honor Tom by doing what Tom usually does on Friday, which is, in essence, a Bring It On Friday type of a show. So what I mean by that is that it's fair game. We're going to open up the Freedom Lines throughout the entire 3 hours of the program so that you, the listener, get an opportunity to say what you want to say. And it could be any topic. There are no ground rules. There are no regulations. Hey, Eric, this is something that conservatives should like. There's no rules and no regulations.
Perfect.
I mean, we've totally deregulated the program for today. So in any case, let me give you the number for the Freedom Lines. As I said, it's 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. I believe we only have like one guest during the second hour, so we'll be able to take as many calls as possible today. So don't be shy about it. If you've never called into a talk radio program, the good doctor will treat you with kid gloves here. Okay, I might not agree with you, so be prepared. Be prepared to defend your position. You do not have to be a Democrat or a Republican, liberal, independent. It doesn't matter. We could talk about anything today. Okay, so don't be shy about calling. Now, Eric, I have lots of audio, too. We didn't get a chance over the last several days to play some of this audio because we have had some very fascinating guests that we've interviewed.
Lots of guests.
But nothing is more powerful and more potent than the actual words coming from the horse's mouth himself.
And who is this horse you're speaking
of? Well, this horse is not Mr. Ed. It's actually Mitt Romney, and it's also Paul Ryan. So just in 1 week alone, Eric, in 1 week alone, they have completely tripped over each other's shoes, completely gone polar opposites with respect to where Romney stands at the top of the ticket and where Ryan stood on the Ryan budget. And we have just some incredible, incredible audio. A lot of progressive talkers out there. I don't know if you listened to The Last Word, Lawrence O'Donnell, and The Rachel Maddow Show, but they've done some pretty nice pieces as well. And I'm going to share some of the information that I've garnered, not only from those shows, but that are publicly available throughout the Internet and YouTube. So lots of exciting things to play here. You're going to hear directly from them how it's amazing that in today's technology, Eric, I could see years ago when you didn't have the Internet, you didn't have the ability to just download things at your fingertip, where a politician might say something at a town hall meeting amongst, you know, groups of friends, if you will, and get away with it. Okay, but today it's still amazing that you get people like Mitt Romney
saying things that just get out and everybody hears it and you can't believe that they actually said it.
And then have Romney and Ryan deny that they actually said it. And I hope what they do in these upcoming debates, where there's three debates, presidential debates, and then the one vice presidential debate, I really hope that they start using this technology, because historically the debates honestly have been a little bit too stale for my taste. Because if you have this technology, like now they're having people call in from YouTube or whatever, and you can see the video. But what I'd like to do is have them say, hey, Mitt, this is what you said, okay? Not read it from a script, but actually show the video, show the actual video of Mitt Romney talking about Medicare or Paul Ryan embracing Ayn Rand.
And you have some of these clips.
Yeah, and I have these clips. So, but my point is, I'd love to see this at the national stage in the debates. I mean, don't you think that would be wonderful to see? All right, Mitt.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Call him out on it, man.
And you could do the same for Obama. I'm not just saying for the... columnist and author, and you can check him out on his website, www.libertasllc.com. So without further ado, let's welcome to the table Cliff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hello. I don't know. All right.
No, that sounded like yesterday's show.
No, that's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Apparently, we were I think it was the conservatives trying to hijack us, Eric. But in any case,
sabotage,
right. See, they don't like, and that's what they're doing with the vote, right? That's exactly what they'll sabotage the airwaves. Voter IDs, suppressing the vote. That's another issue that we got to talk about today. I'm sure the listeners want to talk about. But I was just reading up on – columnist and author, and you can check him out on his website, www.libertasllc.com. So without further ado, let's welcome to the table Cliff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you, Cliff. Well, listen, you know, back in my home state of Pennsylvania, we got some egregious things going on. Also, not too far from Pennsylvania, Ohio. Get the we the people up to date on this horrible assault on democracy called rigging elections.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it's one of the most fundamental rights, and it seems that the Republican Party, which if we go over it, and we often do, is pretty much demographically dead. Unless they can find a way to return to the good old days of 95-year-old white guys being the key electorate.
Right.
You know, they're headed in the wrong direction. They're losing single women. They're losing Hispanic voters and others. Many people know that. So what they've done is, first you had this law in Pennsylvania, which sadly this Judge Simpson upheld today, who is a Republican hack in a robe. I think a lot of people suspected he might do this. And those that were taking away the rights of people to vote and requiring people to have an ID to vote, of course, have presented zero cases, and they admitted this, of voter fraud. The Republican House, State House Majority Leader admitted they were doing this so that Romney could carry the state. You wouldn't really need a lot more evidence. And I, as somebody, I have a connection to both of these states you're talking about. I lived in Philadelphia where I went to college, and I was able to vote there because they wanted to get people who were living in state and had an interest in what happened in the state to be able to vote. Now, Philadelphia, which is only, I think, after Boston in terms of the number of colleges per square mile.
Sure. No question about it. So now you have Republicans. You have Republicans suppressing the vote. You have Governor Rick Scott suppressing the vote in Florida. And that's something I want to talk to the listeners about today. The fact of the matter is that here you have conservative Republicans talking about individual liberty, talking about individual freedom, talking about the Constitution and the Founding Fathers and the love and patriotism for America. But what is America if you don't have a representative democracy where every individual, every citizen in this country gets the right to vote? I mean, think about this for 1 second. And take off your partisan hats for 1 second. This country is predicated on the fundamental right that we are all equal. And that is so beautifully expressed in the one person, one vote concept that is the foundation of our democracy. This is why we fought the American Revolution, because we didn't want a king located across a great ocean dictating to us, the colonists, here in America, how we're going to conduct our business without any representation whatsoever. And this ultimately, without having to rehash all of our American history through the Stamp Act and taxation without representation, this is what got the colonists so upset, so enraged, that the American Revolution took root because people wanted to have a say in their own lives, how they live their lives, how they conduct their lives, how they conduct their business. And now you have
headed in the wrong direction. They're losing single women. They're losing Hispanic voters and others. Many people know that. So what they've done is, first, you had this law in Pennsylvania, which sadly this Judge Simpson upheld today, who is a Republican hack in a robe. I think a lot of people suspected he might do this. And those that were taking away the rights of people to vote and requiring people to have an ID to vote, of course, have presented zero cases, and they admitted this, of voter fraud. The Republican House, State House Majority Leader admitted they were doing this so that Romney could carry the state. You wouldn't really need a lot more evidence. And I, as somebody, I have a connection to both of these states you're talking about. I lived in Philadelphia where I went to college.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting here for Tom Hartman. Today you're listening to the Tom Hartman program, my friends. And we got the phone lines packed right now. And if you want to participate, it's 1-866-987-TOM. Let's just get right to the phone callers, Eric, because it is Bring It On Friday today. And we're going to give everybody a chance to have their say. So let's go first, I believe, to Robert on the line from Northeast Maryland. Robert, can you hear me right now?
Yes, buddy, I can. Thanks for having me on. I got something I want to say. The Coach Bowl has finally got a horse in the race with the Ron pick. He will put millions more in the race. Over Medicare, the left will ante up, and on the right, the Coach Brothers oil and coal money will flood the airwaves with lies.
Yeah, there's no
King of England, Rupert Murdoch's propaganda machine, Fox. They will push for the Americans to elect the fine print candidates on the Republican ticket. A win for the right will result in buyer's remorse for generations to come, and people better read that fine print at the bottom of that ticket.
All right, listen, I appreciate the call right there. We're going to get to everybody today, give everybody a chance to have a say here. But I'll tell you, talking about the right to vote, I was talking about that in the previous segment, but the right to vote is so sacrosanct, my friends. It is something that the founding fathers put into the Constitution, and it's something that we, the people, the forefathers of us, the foremothers of us, fought an American Revolution for, because we didn't have that representative democracy. We did not have the ability, when we had the king, King George, over in England across an entire ocean, telling us, we the people, what to do, how to live, how we were going to conduct our lives without any say whatsoever in the matter. And that was the whole genesis of the American Revolution. Guess what? There is a new American Revolution afoot, and I don't say this capriciously. There is a new American Revolution afoot, because now Republican state senators, Republican state representatives, and Republican governors across the country, this is not an isolated event, across the country are now looking to suppress the vote. And even more appallingly, they're not even being democratic about their suppression of the vote. And what I mean by that is not trying to suppress the vote across the board. On the contrary, they are trying to suppress the vote of a political party or individuals who subscribe to a particular political ideology that happens to disagree with them. Think about that for a second. This is something you would expect out of communist China, communist Russia, the Politburo. These are the kind of things that you would expect from dictatorial regimes like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran. But no, my friends, this is something being conducted and implemented by our fellow Americans on us, the people. We spoke yesterday about what's happening in Ohio, where the governor and the secretary of state and the Republican-controlled legislature is trying to suppress the vote in only Democratic-leaning counties in Ohio. We talked about in Pennsylvania how now they're trying to suppress the vote for the elderly, people who tend to vote Democratic in Pennsylvania, minorities who tend to vote Democratic in Pennsylvania. They're curtailing the hours that people can go to early voting. You see, the Republicans are studying the voting habits of Democrats across the country. And in my home state of Pennsylvania, they looked at the data and they saw that minorities tend to vote early voting. In the past, they had 12 days of early voting in Pennsylvania, and they saw that disproportionately minorities were voting early, and disproportionately that minorities vote Democrat. So know what they decided to do? They decided that rather than 12 days of early voting, let's cut it down to 8 days. Let's cut it down by 33%. And if we can do that, then that hypothetically might mean that one-third or 33% of Democrats won't vote because we compressed the time frame. This is what's happening in America right now, as we speak. If this doesn't alarm you as an American, as an American, not as a partisan ideologue. Take off your partisan hat right now and think about the threat to this democracy. You have a Republican Party that says they stand for individual liberty and individual freedom, but yet in the very next breath, they're trying to codify into law the suppression of that individual's right to vote for the representative that he or she would like to do. Our democracy is now under direct attack. You see, the Republican Party realizes that the American people are no longer with their draconian ideology. They're no longer with their radical fanaticism. That the American people do not embrace Tea Party ideology. And the only way that they feel that they can win, which I've told you over the last 3 days that I've substituted for Tom Hartman, the only way that conservatives can win today is by rigging the rules and regulations. That's the only way that they can win, because they do not have truth on their side. They don't have liberty on their side. They don't have freedom on their side. They don't have the U.S. Constitution on their side, because every step along the way, they continue to usurp their powers at the expense of their narrow-minded ideology and their special lobbyists and their top 0.1% of income earners. But like I told you yesterday, my friends, if 99% of the American people vote, it doesn't matter what the 1% won. It doesn't matter. And this is why they're suppressing the vote. 27 minutes after the hour, back with your calls in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes currently after the hour here, and I'm going to get to your calls in a second. But before I get to the calls, Eric, I do have some of this audio I definitely want to share with the listening audience, because it's absolutely stunning and amazing what's happened with Paul Ryan and what's happened with Mitt Romney, and with respect to them saying that they're for one thing, but they're against the other. Remember John Kerry? They called John Kerry what?
Flip-flop?
The flip-flopper, right? Well, these guys are making John Kerry, these guys are like the Olympic gold medal version of the flip-floppers. I mean, John Kerry might have got a bronze. I don't think John Kerry flip-flopped at all. But if he got the bronze medal, these guys are by far triple gold medal winners when it comes to actually flip-flopping. So let me bring this up here on the screen. And the first thing that I want to do here is let me get you this one. Well, before we do that, let me do this one. I want to do the one with Ayn Rand, Paul Ryan and Ayn Rand, too, because that's one I want to get in here. And this is basically a medley, and then we'll get to the flip-flopping one after this.
I love medleys.
I just flip-flopped. I was going to do one thing, now I'm going to do the other. But this is a medley of sort of Paul Ryan's love for Ayn Rand and also what she stands for, and I think it speaks for itself. So let me just play this clip, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go to the tape.
And Ayn Rand, more than anyone else, did a fantastic job of explaining the morality of capitalism, the morality of individualism.
But the Paul Ryans, the Rand Pauls, the Jim Jordans, these are the faces of the new ideas.
Rand celebrates capitalism and the individual.
The inspiration for a lot of these young guns comes from icons of the past. Ronald Reagan, Milton Friedman, Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, author of the novels The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged might be the second best read book in history.
There were certain writers that just had this vision of the future.
Over the past year, The Economist and others have reported sharply rising sales of Rand's books.
Hey, Atlas Shrugged is out, so you got to get a scene from that new movie.
Okay, let me get a
scene. And she's still because it was telling the truth.
I am a big fan of Ayn Rand and read all of her novels.
And so if Ayn Rand were here today, I think she would do a great job in showing us just how wrong what government is doing is.
Okay, so
you say that you do not like the altruism by which we live.
You like a certain kind of Ayn Randist selfishness.
That I don't like is too weak a word. I consider it evil.
Is that it?
No, there's more.
Because we are now moving towards complete collectivism or socialism. And we are moving that way only because of our altruist morality.
Oh, yes.
All right, so let's stop there. So she totally feels that it's an evil, Eric, that altruism is evil. This is the actual philosopher who Paul Ryan embraces. He loves Ayn Rand. He has considered, and I'll play the rest of this a little bit later, but he has considered her as his mentor. And he gives her books, Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, to his interns to read. So you've got somebody who says dislike is not the word for altruism. It's an evil. Altruism.
How could that be evil?
Yeah, how could helping your fellow brother or sister be an evil? And then you have people like Sean Hannity, heard in that clip. You know, she's got this vision for the future. She's about the individual, capitalism. Well, you know why? Because at its core, the way that Republicans practice capitalism, they don't believe in altruism. I mean, their version of capitalism isn't altruistic. See, I think of capitalism as a double bottom line capitalism where, guess what? You make money, but you do well by society. Their version of capitalism is the dog-eat-dog, you know, I must maximize my profits at all expense, and it doesn't matter if there's any public good served by the capitalism. You see, and that's why, to them, altruism is evil. That's why John Galt, who is their hero, their fictional hero, you know, it's all about me, me, me. So, look, with that being said, let's get to some of the callers right now, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. But I do want to go to Barry. He's in KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, and we were talking about that voter suppression. Yeah, he's listening from KPOJ, but he's from Portland, Oregon. Yes. How are you, Barry?
Oh, good. Listen, well, not really good, but surviving. Anyway, I would just like to basically accuse both parties of suppressing votes, and the reason being that none of the third-party candidates are included in any of the debates, any of the media. Very rarely does a third-party candidate get any kind of word on any of your radio shows. And the third-party people, I think they're taking my right as a vote and to hear my candidates. I would like to hear a true progressive or liberal candidate, which neither one of these other two are.
Let me ask you this, Barry, because you bring up...
and the Republicans of voter suppression.
Okay, that's fair enough. To a certain extent, you have a point here. So let me ask you this, because I don't necessarily disagree in the sense. Let me give you an example here in Arizona. In Arizona, we have about a third of our voters register as Republican, about a third register as Democrat, and then there's a third registration, which is called no party or independent. But it's not a party, though. So in other words, if the independents had a chance here in Arizona to form their own kind of a party, you'd have a third of the people voting or at least registering as an independent party. So my question to you is this. What would you suggest to be the threshold to allow someone else on the stage? Say you got Romney and Obama debating in this upcoming fall election, but what should be the threshold for another party to be on the stage? Because you can't have 100 parties, you know, on the stage to have a debate.
Well, in other countries, in Europe, they have way more parties debating and things than just two.
I know, but what I'm asking you is that's the point. So how do we structure something like that? How do we do it so that you can have a meaningful debate so that you can't have 100 people debating in an evening, everybody gets 3 seconds to respond?
When you go back to when Ross Perot debated, how was he included in that?
Yeah, well, I think what used to happen, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they used to have had a certain percent of the sort of vote in an election. So I think it might have been as low as 15% at one point. So in other words,
well,
if you scored 15%,
to run in a state, you need a certain percentage to be on a ballot.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is that if you got a 15% vote in sort of a primary election, whatever, then that would qualify you to become part of, you know, the national debate. So, but I agree with you. I think the rules need to change such that we do involve more people, more voices.
I also don't think either party wants to hear a true liberal or progressive.
Well, then that's a sad testament to where our democracy is. Listen, good thoughts, so I appreciate it, Barry. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, that's Barry here. Let's go next to Michael. He's out in Miami, Florida, and Michael wants to talk, I think, about the voter suppression from Governor Rick Scott out there. Michael, welcome to the table.
Aloha. How are you?
Aloha. How are you?
Okay. What's the difference between a good hair day and a bad hair day?
Donald Trump?
The attitude has nothing to do with the hair day. Yeah, I'm on the Republican regime of Rick Scott, who's trying to steal everything. Our government is two-party system does not work. Does not work. It hasn't worked since I've been born during World War II. Mm-hmm. Right? We need a government, other people, for the people, but most of all, by the people, not the jerk-off corporations. Excuse my language. Right?
We should
be free. We should be free.
Yeah. No. I don't disagree. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to get some of the other calls because we got the Freedom Lines packed right now. And I want to give everybody a chance today on this Bring It On Friday, Bring It On Friday version of the Tom Hartman Show. So 1-866-987-TOM. That's T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. Let's go next in the queue to Pete. Pete's calling from Fayetteville, I believe, Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How are you?
Every day's a blessing, no matter what happens.
I propose
good hair day.
We, if we can celebrate Columbus Day, I really think that we need to celebrate a People's Day. And that day should be celebrated on the day in which we vote.
Sure.
At any time that we do vote. And then voting should be held in such high esteem that everybody gets this day off. Everybody participates. Everybody goes do their vote, goes barbecue, and basically just lifts the whole idea of voting up and gives it a good name again. I mean, so many people are disengaged. I mean, if we give a People's Day, We the People Day, and make it for women.
I love it, Pete. I love your idea 100%. I think if we could, look, you're right. We have all these holidays, in particular Christopher Columbus and the founding of America. Although if you go back and look at Columbus, I'm not going to get into the whole issue with him, but he was a pretty nasty guy when it came to the Native Americans. And I don't even think we should celebrate Christopher Columbus Day. And that's coming from an Italian. He's revered in my town of South Philly. But in any case, that's another topic for another day. But you're right. Why, if we're honoring Christopher Columbus, why are we not honoring the most sacrosanct liberty that we have in this country, which is the right to vote? Why do we put up barriers? Why do we put up restrictions? Why don't we just have that day off, a paid holiday, where everybody, like you said, I love the whole concept, but We the People Day, go out to get barbecue some chicken, throw some burgers on the grill out there, you know, slam down a few beers and just
make
go
it
out
like
there.
The 4th of July.
Yeah, like the 4th of July. Why, you know, why not do that? I mean, Pete, I think you're totally onto something, and you know, let's see if the two-party system is willing to do that. But thus far, that I know there have been some efforts to implement such a thing, but so far it hasn't taken root. So, Pete, great idea. If it happens, you're going to get the credit, okay? All right, there you have it. That's Pete calling in there from Florida. All right, listen, let me get the Freedom Lines open, 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. We'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for today's program.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Mike Newcomb sitting in today for the final day Friday, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So let's get back to the Freedom Lines right now. I believe next up in the queue, we got Mary on the line from Bernie, Texas, who wants to talk about election fraud and voting machines. How are you, Mary?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for taking time to call today.
Oh, listen, I admire your passion. You know, the right to vote is really important, but the ones that do get to the vote, the machines that they have are so manipulated. And what worries me is this is the most important election of my lifetime, and I'm an old lady.
How, now, Mary, I know you're not supposed to do this, but how old are you?
I'm 83.
God
bless.
I'll
be 84 in November.
All right. So you've seen a lot about throughout our history of this country, then, as far as voting and the suppression of the vote,
yes,
too.
Yes, I have. I have seen a lot of trouble, but nothing like this. The Supreme Court can change. The regulations on banks can be put in. I think the PAC money goes to mostly for the Congress because they don't need a penny to elect the president. All they've got the machines. And remember Ohio when they did it, they counted behind closed doors?
I remember the guy who was the CEO of Diebold, which is the electronic voting machines that were used, and he guaranteed
Ohio
victory. Remember he said, I guarantee victory in Ohio.
Yes, he did. I heard him say it.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
I don't know what we can do. We had, for 8 years, we had a president that was never elected. Not one time.
Right.
And this is a more important election than any we've ever seen. I really worry about the outcome and our helplessness to do anything about it.
Well, listen, the fact of the matter is, Mary, you're going to be 84 years old. You're listening to a progressive talk radio program. You're participating in democracy, and you're letting people know that even at 84, you're not giving up. So if that doesn't serve as inspiration, Mary, to everybody out there, including the youth, you know, and I have a teenage daughter who can vote now, then I don't know what will. So listen, God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and I appreciate your time on the air.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Mai.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. That's why I'm a geriatric physician, Eric. I love dealing with the elderly because they are our history. They are our foundation. They are what makes America great. And when I see people like Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan trying to do terrible, horrible things to Mary, okay, an 84-year-old woman who still loves this country, who still is participating in our democracy, and they want to take away her Medicare benefits. They want to reduce her Medicare benefits. They want to take away her Social Security. I mean, I find that repulsive. I mean, I don't know about you, but I absolutely find
Of course I feel the same way.
Well, good. I hope you do. I'm glad to hear that you feel
What did you think I was going to say? I disagree?
I don't know. I never know with you. But
yes, you do.
All right. In any case, let's get back to the Freedom Lines right now. Let's see. Next up in the queue, let's go to Clark. Clark from Goodyear, Arizona. I happen to know this man, Clark. So, Clark, welcome to the table.
Dr. Mike and Eric, I am so glad to see you guys on a upscale, top-of-the-line progressive talk show that's nationally spread throughout the country, and I think it's wonderful for you guys. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy you guys doing it the last couple days. And I would like to call for you to replace the Lion Lowlifes over at the Randy Rhoads Show because I think you are willing to take, like Tom Hartman, you'll talk to conservative callers where they are scared to death of a conservative caller with a point. But anyway,
understood. And as a disclaimer, as a disclaimer, Clark's one of those conservative callers,
except without a point.
Right.
Mike, though, but I agree with you in a lot of ways. You know, I do from time to time. Now, here's the thing, Dr. Mike. I don't think it matters who really gets elected. I think corporate America is going to run this country. When I heard the President Obama say that he was behind Jamie Dimon 100%, Jamie Dimon was his man, and that he was the best man for the job, I just figured, you know, corporate America is running the show. I think every one of those guys that pays $40,000, $50,000 a plate, whether it's Romney or Obama, they all have offshore accounts. They all take every tax deduction. They have a bank of accountants that give them every benefit that regular Americans don't get. And so I think that's really the bottom line. And there are some differences. I think Obama is a cool guy. I think he's got great charisma. But I really think when it gets right down to it, the corporations run America, and I'd like to see Occupy Wall Street people get together with the Tea Party people, who the Tea Party people mostly want streamlined, smaller, efficient government, and the Occupy Wall Street people want the banks taking their hands out of running the country and the Wall Street greed. And they're not that far apart. If they could just
and
talk.
Let me And let me tell you this, Clark, because I'm going to get the other calls too. But here's where a case I agree with you, and you know that I'm not hyper-partisan. I'm for the truth and for freedom and liberty. But I have a case here today where I was going to talk about it. I might as well give you a quick thing on this now. Corzine. You remember Corzine, right?
Yeah.
Former Goldman Sachs chief. You know, Democrat, senator from New Jersey. Okay, so I'm not being partisan here. I think he's a crook. He's an absolute crook. And I don't know if you heard with MF Global, his brokerage firm, and it collapsed. $1 billion of customer money, $1 billion, Clark, disappeared into nowhere. Nowhere. And the headline was, no criminal case is likely in the $1 billion loss at MF Global that was headed by none other than Democratic Senator John Corzine. See, I think that is disgusting, absolutely disgusting. Clark, if somebody lost $100 here, you know, people would be upset with $100 that you lost. This is $1 billion of people's money that's missing, and this is John Corzine who's going to get off scot-free. Listen, I got to run, Clark. Okay. I appreciate the call.
All right, thanks.
So listen. Okay, we will talk to everybody when we get back on the rebound. Stay with us. Oh, no, we still have it. You said it's 50. Anyway, we will be back. Let me give you the number, 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. We still got a full board of callers packed right now, so be patient. 57 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman Program. This is the good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in for Tom.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two here. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program. It's Bring It On Friday. Anything you want to talk about is fair game with a good doctor here. But that being said, we do have a very special guest on the line right now. His name is Joshua Holland, and he is the senior writer and editor at Alternet. And you can check out his work at www.alternet.org. And I'm very excited to talk to him because guess what? I'm a doctor myself, a geriatric physician, and we're going to be talking about his most recent article, Seven Reasons Why Romney Ryan's Desperate Attempts to Spin Medicare Won't Work. So without further ado, let's welcome to the table Joshua Holland. Joshua, how are you?
I'm well, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great. Well, listen, I read your article. You did a phenomenal job on that. And I'll tell you, as a physician, I can't tell you how angry I get, Joshua, when I see Romney and I see Ryan literally lying. And I've told people here, I don't capriciously use that word, but they are absolutely lying when it comes to, you know, characterizing the $716 billion that, you know, Obama reallocated to the Affordable Care Act to make it a better system. So give us your macro view of what you see happening, and then we can get into the specifics of your article as we conduct the interview.
Well, you know, I think that you put your finger on it. You know, we expect politicians to, you know, shade the truth and to spin. These are really, really blatant lies coming from the Romney camp because they have clearly a weakness, having brought Paul Ryan on board with his plan that does end Medicare as we know it and it replaces it with a voucher system. And what they're doing is that, the way I see it, they're just trying to muddy the waters in the hope that political reporters will get bored by all the kind of wonky details and just end up giving a he said, she said rendition in the hope, ultimately, of leaving voters confused come November.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's get to the $700 billion in cuts, quote-unquote, that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan seem to be so upset about, to the point where they're saying that Obama raided the Medicare fund and robbed the seniors and to, quote-unquote, pay for the Affordable Care Act. First and foremost, is it not true that you would think, Joshua, that if these people are fiscal conservatives, they would have, one, first and foremost, applauded the president for cutting out the waste, cutting out the fraud, and streamlining Medicare, making it leaner and meaner. Doesn't Paul Ryan's budget pretty much mimic the cuts that Obama made?
Paul Ryan's budget has the exact same cuts. And the thing that listeners need to understand is that not a penny, not a red penny, not a shekel, not a shilling, comes out of seniors' benefits.
Exactly.
The so-called rating of Medicare was a negotiated reduction in the increase of payments to hospitals and other service providers. They agreed to reduce their payment increases over the next few years, and they did this because Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is going to insure about 30 million more people, and they are going to see more paying customers with health insurance, so they feel that it's in their interests to slow the growth of their fees over the years. It also takes a chunk out of Medicare Advantage. Now, Medicare Advantage is a privatized arm of Medicare, and when it was passed, we were told, as usual, that the free market fairies were going to sprinkle their magic pixie dust and magically reduce costs. Now, that has not happened. Medicare Advantage costs 17% more than the traditional Medicare program, and this takes a chunk of Medicare Advantage money and reallocates it, as you said, over to the healthcare system, including Medicare. Here's where the really egregious lie is. If you go and you ask the Congressional Budget Office, they say, look, Obamacare, ACA, the Affordable Care Act, has all sorts of cost containment mechanisms, and it makes Medicare's long-term finances dramatically, dramatically more sustainable.
No, absolutely. But this is the thing, too, Joshua. Let the people know, because, first of all, all those ancillary providers that you've mentioned, the hospitals, home health care agencies, it was a negotiated deal with the Obama administration because, like you said, they're business savvy. They realize that, hey, we might have to take a little bit reduction in fees if we're going to get 30 million more customers, though. Hey, let's do it. That makes sense for both of us. It's a mutually beneficial plan. But is it not true that the only ancillary provider that balked at that was the insurance companies themselves, the Medicare Advantage plans? They're the ones who didn't want the cuts. Yeah, so.
And of course, they're going to, also receive a lot of new consumers, new customers. So, yes, they did balk because they are vampires, right? And they want to suck the last blood out of the corpse. You know, one of the things that I think is important to understand is that Ryan's plan repealed the Affordable Care Act. So if you we're all saying, because it's true, we're noting the hypocrisy of Paul Ryan having the same cuts in his proposal as they're attacking the Obama administration. But remember, the cuts that Obama is making are part of this whole grand package that comes with Obamacare. So the Ryan plan is saying, we're also going to have those cuts, but it's not going to be negotiated, and these service providers are not going to get those new patients. So it's really, it's a fraudulent line of attack on so many levels. Just going down the board at every level, it's just incredibly dishonest.
Well, also, Joshua, under the Affordable Care Act, I'm a primary care physician, Joshua. I'm a geriatric physician. I actually go into the homes of the frail elderly who really can't get out to see their doctors. And as you know, the frail elderly are actually the segment of the population that disproportionately consume most of the healthcare dollar because they are very sick and they can't go to a primary care doctor's office and get the care they need and ultimately end up very sick and in the hospital. And as you know, that's the most expensive part of the system, the hospital. So under the Affordable Care Act, President Barack Obama has done an ingenious thing. He's actually engaged both the private sector and the public sector to come together in what's called an ACO, an accountable care organization, where you now have home health agencies, you have hospices, you have hospitals, you have primary care doctors, you name it, whoever's in the community coming together to work together so that that segment of the population gets care and oftentimes, Joshua, in the privacy of their own home, like the old days. That's what the seniors are used to, the docs who made house calls. That's what we do here. Nobody talks about that in the Affordable Care Act. On the contrary, if you look at what you said, tell people what Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney, what they're going to do with that $700 billion of savings. You just mentioned that Obama plows it back into the Affordable Care Act to make a better system and deliver better care. What's Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan's plan to do with that $700 billion?
Well, they would. They say it's that they dedicated to deficit reduction, but if you look at the details of the Ryan plan, and I should point out there is no Romney plan that has any significant amount of detail. Just like his taxes, he's not releasing any details of his economic plan. He said that very clearly in interviews this week.
Nor his tax returns.
Yeah. If you look at the numbers in Ryan's plan, which is the only thing that gives us enough detail to do an analysis, the cuts for the tax cuts for the wealthiest earners and for corporations are so great that they don't actually, that his budget actually does not reduce the deficit. So what they're taking is they're taking that money. They're not taking it as part of a negotiated settlement with these providers, and they're giving it to the wealthiest Americans mm-hmm. who have already seen, you know, who are already seeing historically low tax rates.
Low tax rates. Well, listen, Jonathan, Joshua, I appreciate the time on the air. And if you want to check out Joshua Holland's writings, you can go to www.alternate.org. Thanks a lot for your time on the air today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program in a second, and we'll get to your call. Stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the Freedom Lines right now. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in this Friday here. It's Bring It on Friday. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. And a special thanks to Joshua Holland from Alternate. He did a phenomenal article. If you haven't checked it out, check it out on his website because I read it prior to interviewing him. And it's a very, very well done piece on what is technically a pretty complicated matter, Medicare and government health insurance. But I think he did a phenomenal job on that. And that's coming from a doctor. I can tell you he did a real nice job. So let's go next. Let me see here. There's somebody who was worried about losing their Medicare Advantage. So let's go to Larry on the line from Florida. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Mike. Thank you very much for getting me on. My wife and I are on Medicare Advantage. If that goes away and we have to replace it with a supplement, isn't that going to cost us $4,000 or $5,000 a year? And isn't that losing a benefit?
No. First of all, the way that Obama, as Joshua was telling you, with the Medicare Advantage plan, there is absolutely zero reductions in benefits. The $716 billion that Obama trimmed from the Medicare budget was predominantly, Larry, from fraud and abuse, from waste. I mean, he basically cut out a lot of the fat that was in the program. And then what he did was basically from the savings that he got, also the negotiations with the hospitals and the other providers, he took those savings. Just think of it like your own budget at home, Larry, okay? If you were able and you and your wife were sitting down and you're looking at your budget and you said, you know what, honey, it looks like we're, you know, there's a lot of waste here and this and that. We can save, you know, $10,000 in our home budget if we just did these few things. And then you basically took that $10,000 and put it back into your home to remodel your home, to make your home more valuable. That's exactly what Obama did with this program. Your benefits were not touched. He took the savings, as I said, from the fraud, the abuse, the waste, et cetera. So your Medicare Advantage program is not touched at all. It's up to the Medicare.
So you're saying Medicare Advantage is not going to go away?
No, Medicare Advantage is still out there.
Okay.
See, here's what Medicare Advantage is, just so you understand this. You have traditional Medicare, right? That's run by the government. And the government typically, Larry, would say, okay, Larry lives in Florida, and, you know, based off of that area, we assign about, say, $1,000 per Medicare recipient for the health care per month, hypothetically, right? Just to make the numbers easy.
Right.
So that's what Medicare pays. Now, Medicare Advantage and any of the HMOs will come in and say, you know what, Mr. Federal Government, we could do a better job managing these patients, okay? And guess what? We'll give you a built-in savings. Rather than $1,000 a month that you get, that you pay for Larry right now, we'll take $900 a month, but we'll do a better job than you will, and then you don't have to worry about a risk. So that's why they're called risk plans. They take the risk. So Medicare Advantage is basically a program where the government said to the private insurer, okay, you manage Larry's care. We save 10% because we're only going to pay $900 versus $1,000 now. Now it's up to them to do a better job with your care with less money, okay? So Medicare Advantage is going to try to get offer you, hypothetically, more services, right? That's and I say that I in quotation marks. They're supposed to give you more debt.
My point, though, the salient point is that as long as Medicare Advantage isn't going away, then I'm not losing a benefit.
No, I mean, you're not. And let me make this clear, though. According to the federal law, Medicare Advantage must guarantee you a certain base level of services. Otherwise, the government won't do business with them. So whatever basic services that you get in traditional Medicare, Medicare Advantage still has to provide those same basic services.
Yeah. Well, I've been on it for several years. It's pretty good. Quick question. Are you familiar with Tom Hartman's Medicare Part E concept?
Part E, no.
Okay. What he's talking about is making Medicare for all, where everybody under 65 could buy into Medicare, sort of, let's say, as a public option. Have you given that concept any thought? What do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I think that would be a wonderful thing, because you know what that does ultimately, Larry? It puts more choice out there for the consumer. And you see, that's something you'll hear Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan say, oh, we want to create more choice. In reality, they don't want to create more choice. They want to limit the choices. What Tom is saying is that Medicare for everyone, make it E, right? E for everyone. So Medicare E for everyone would make a lot of sense, because that allows the consumers to piggyback on the infrastructure that it has already created for people like yourself and your wife who are exercising the Medicare Advantage. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. As a doctor, I think it's a wonderful idea, and I would fully 100% support it. So listen, Larry, good conversation. I hope I clarified some things and didn't make it too complicated.
Thanks for your time. Great.
Okay,
job.
Bye-bye.
Great job. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that's Larry from Florida weighing in with his point of view. But see, that's the difference. See, Obama, under the plan that he put together with the Affordable Care Act, is not taking away any benefits whatsoever. What Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan want to do is take that $700 billion and, rather than putting it back into the Affordable Care Act, putting it back into the healthcare system to make your benefit more expansive, so that you can get free screenings now. You can get mammograms. You can get colonoscopies. You don't have to pay the donut hole anymore. Part D, Medicare, which is the prescription drug benefit, that donut hole closes so that you're now not at risk for $2,500, $5,000 extra in the year. All of those savings go to subsidize the Affordable Care Act to give you more benefits, not less, versus Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan want to take the $700 billion, and guess who they're going to give it to? That's right, the billionaires. The millionaires in the form of more tax cuts. So this is what I'm telling you when I tell you Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are lying through their teeth. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. And is it any wonder why Mitt Romney doesn't want to show his tax returns? Because this guy is hiding something. He has made millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, by hiding things, by lying about things, by being secretive about things, by not shooting straight with the American people. And I'm telling you, the American people will have nothing to do with it. 27 minutes after the hour, back with more of the Tom Hartman program in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the Freedom Lines right now. We got Jacob listening at affiliate KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. Jacob, welcome to the table.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Mike, and to Tom Hartman and all the hardworking crew there in New Mexico and D.C. You guys are doing a great job filling in for Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Mike. I wanted to talk about the new proposed West Coast coal exports in Oregon and Washington State. I don't know if you guys have been covering that much, but basically they're going to extract coal out of the U.S., out of Montana and Wyoming, ship it via barge and train, open barge and open train, through the western half into the Pacific Northwest, through my backyard here in Portland to the coast and export the coal to China. And, of course, the only thing that really we get from this is, you know, the pollution that comes back after they burn it. And I wanted to bring this to the attention of all the folks listening live here in Portland on KPOJ, anyone in Oregon, Washington State, in the Columbia River Gorge, to come out to a no-coal protest tomorrow here in Portland, Saturday, August 18th. It's off I-5. You can take Lombard West, go 2 miles. There's a couple of websites to mention if folks want more information. GoodGrowthNW.org. That's GoodGrowthNW.org. And FilterFreeRadio.com for more information on that. About the demonstration tomorrow in Portland from noon to 3. It's in North Portland. Come check it out. And it's open to the public. It's going to be kind of an informational meeting gathering for the community, for all folks to come out and learn about what's going on and express their opposition, express their concerns. And I'm really curious, you know, Dr. Mike, I'm curious about your kind of thoughts on, you know, like the health effects of on the community, you know, with coal terminals and coal transports near. I mean, any thoughts on kind of the health risks and just trying to get more people aware and involved about this?
Yeah, well, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but, I mean, you can get what are called pneumoconiosis, where you get sort of environmental particles that could basically penetrate the lung tissue and then set up inflammatory reactions in the lung tissue. And oftentimes the sad thing about that, Jacob, is that those things aren't – you could get like an initial reaction in your lung, but oftentimes those particles could stay in your lung and cause long-term inflammation in your lung. And you sometimes might not see the actual end result of the initial insult until years and years later. And quite frankly, that's why a lot of these companies that understand this, you know, I'm sure you've heard about asbestosis and things like that, where sometimes you get mesotheliomas and it doesn't show up till years and years later. They figure they can get away with it. So if there's not like an immediate reaction in the body, then guess what? They'll get away with that, transporting those things, and then ultimately, you know, we the people end up suffering. So look, we appreciate your time on the air and letting people know about this. And I got to get up there, Jacob, to Portland, because, you know, that's one state that I have not yet been to. I've not been to the Pacific Northwest. I hear wonderful things about it. I'm actually working through Portlandia right now, the series on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's a great show.
It's great stuff. And the good folks here are really protective. About our clean air, water, and land, and this is why this is such a big deal. So thanks, Dr. Mike, and Tom and all the crew there. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Appreciate it. Okay, there you have it. Jacob calling from Portland, Oregon, weighing in with his particular thoughts, opening up another Freedom Line on the Tom Hartman Show right now. It's 1-866-987-THOM. Hey, I'm going to get to more of the callers here, Eric, but I want to play this clip here. This is Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, because I want to follow up on our conversation there. I got it plugged in. Don't worry about that. And this is them kind of lying about, not kind of, they are lying about the Medicare choice. So let me just play this for you, and I'll explain to you my thoughts on this.
I have to tell you, the Miami Herald has a banner headline across the front of it this morning that says Ryan could hurt in Florida, because they're talking about Medicare and what you're talking about, the cuts.
Think about that, by the way. There's only one president that I know of in history that robbed Medicare $716 billion to pay for a new risky program of his own that we call Obamacare. Think of that. What Paul Ryan and I have talked about is saving Medicare, is providing people greater choice in Medicare, making sure it's there for current seniors. No changes, by the way, for current seniors or those nearing retirement, but looking for young people down the road and saying, we're going to give you a bigger choice. In America, the nature of this country has been giving people more freedom, more choices. That's how we make Medicare work down the road.
But you must concede you're going to have to do a little selling.
I'm a Medicare senior in Florida. Our point is we need to preserve their benefits, because government made promises to them that they organize their retirements around. In order to make sure we can do that, you must reform it for those of us who are younger. And we think these reforms are good reforms. They have bipartisan origin. They started from the Clinton Commission in the late 90s.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do for you now, okay? This is the advantage that I have as a radio talk show host and being a doctor at the same time. That all sounds probably on the surface to a lot of people you know, great, you know, choice and freedom and this and that and blah, blah, blah. In reality, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my scalpel, my radio scalpel right now, and I'm going to dissect live over the airwaves. This might be painful for some of you conservative Republicans listening right now, but I'm going to dissect this piecemeal by piecemeal live over the airwaves and show you how absolutely untrue and a lie this is, so that when you go out there after today's program, you'll be armed with truth on your side. So when you're at work and you're at the water cooler and you're having these discussions with these radical conservative Republicans, you'll be able to say that, guess what? That's not the way I understand it. That's not the way Dr. Mike, who is a doctor, okay, unlike Mitt Romney and unlike Paul Ryan, who have absolutely zero experience in the healthcare field. If Mitt Romney wants to go out there and talk about how great a businessman he is and he's in a private sector and he's the guy who could tell you about the economy, well, guess what? Dr. Mike's the guy who could tell you about healthcare, because I've been in healthcare my whole life, Mitt, okay? And you're not going to lie to the American people, because your lies will hurt not only Democrats, it'll hurt independents, Republicans, no party, okay? Your plan will destroy the American people. So, Eric, let's go back to the tape, and I will pause it at the appropriate moment, okay?
All right.
I have to tell you, the Miami Herald has a banner headline across the front of it this morning that says Ryan could hurt in Florida, because they're talking about Medicare and what you're talking about, the cuts.
Think about that, by the way. There's only one president that I know of in history that robbed Medicare $716 billion to pay for a new risky program of his own that we call Obamacare.
Okay, stop. Lie number one. First of all, like I said, President Obama didn't rob Medicare, okay? See, that is so irresponsible on behalf of Mitt Romney to even use the word robbed, okay? That to me disqualifies him as a leader of this great nation. To call the president of the United States in a campaign a thief, you know, a rob. I don't know. Have you ever been? I've been robbed, Eric.
Oh, I've been robbed.
I've had people when I was in college break into my college room, and I came home and the door was locked, okay? And then it was locked from the inside, and we weren't inside, and I knew that there had to be somebody in, because you have the little latch up top.
Yep.
So as we opened the door, we couldn't get in, so obviously somebody's there. I ran around to the back, okay? This was at a high-rise apartment, but, you know, we were on the ground floor. Run around the back and see this guy out of the window, and then took jewelry, my girlfriend at the time's jewelry.
Did you catch him?
I start running after him. I didn't catch him. But the point was, you know, I've had my car stolen when I was in Tucson. I know what it's like to be robbed. You feel so violated when you're robbed. For this president, I mean, or president wannabe, to say that our president robbed somebody is an incredibly low-life kind of thing to do. So, first of all, I want to start with that. Now, that being said, what we told you before, the $700 billion, so you understand this, President Obama saw that there was fraud and abuse. Fraud and abuse. People getting paid for Medicare services that they never provided.
Talking about robbing.
Yeah, that's robbing. So the president has clamped down on criminals who are taking our money, our taxpayer money in Medicare, and stealing it, literally robbing it. You're right, Eric. Literally robbing the money, and said, enough of it. Okay? The president also looked at Medicare Advantage and said, guess what? We're giving you extra money, $150 to $200 billion a year, and you're the Medicare Advantage plan, and you're supposed to be providing more benefits for these beneficiaries. And guess what? You're not. We've looked at it. You're not doing anything other than taking the $150 to $200 billion, and you know what you're doing with that? You're putting it in your own damn pocket. That's what you're doing. It's going into the CEO and the CFO and the chief, all the officers in these private insurance companies are getting $150 to $200 billion of your and my money. And guess what our president said? Enough. That is enough. And then he went to the hospitals and some of the other providers and said, look, I think we're overpaying you. You're getting too much money for this stuff. My plan will bring in 30 more million customers to you if you're willing to take a little less reimbursement. That's what the president did. So this was negotiated all along the way. This was a great deal for Medicare. The president didn't rob anyone. because your benefits remain the same. Your benefits are not decreased at all. When we get back, I'm going to take my scalpel to more of the lies of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, okay? And then after that, we're going to get to your calls. But this is important that the American people understand from Dr. Mike the truth on health care.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, welcome back to the program, the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting here this Friday. And I will get back to dissecting that Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan baloney in 1 second. But as usual, at the point, this point in the hour, we have Victoria Jones on with Talk Radio News Service. So let's get those daily news updates with Victoria Jones. Welcome.
Thank you very much. We have two important stories from overseas that I'd like to get to. The first one is out of Iran. Today is Jerusalem Day in Israel, Quds Day, they call it. It's a day that calls on the Palestinian reclamation of Jerusalem for Israel's control. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has rather fanned the flames of tension with Israel, and there's a reason why it is particularly important, with some inflammatory rhetoric. The very existence of the Zionist regime is an insult to humankind and an affront to all world nations. Confronting Zionists will also pave the way for saving the whole humankind from exploitation, depravity, and misery. And he also said that today is an occasion for all human communities to wipe out this scarlet letter from the forehead of humanity. Now, there are concerns and speculation, anyway, in the Israeli press about whether the government of Benjamin Netanyahu has decided to order a military strike on uranium enrichment sites in Iran. And there's also some concern within the country of Israel as to whether that country is ready for the kind of retaliation that is expected to come not only from Iran, but also from Hamas and Hezbollah. So this kind of talk today is seen as very much ratcheting up the rhetoric on all sides.
Wow, that's the last thing the human species needs, Victoria, is another war.
Indeed. Indeed. And moving to another war, two American Special Forces members were shot to death today by a new Afghan local police recruit. They were training at a small outpost in western Afghanistan. Then in a second green-on-blue attack today in the south, an Afghan security force member turned his weapon on other international service personnel, wounding two American soldiers, according to NATO and Afghan officials. Now, we have seen a gradual increase in the number of these attacks of Afghans on NATO forces. And there have been some telling by the U.S. forces that this is an increase by the Taliban. But the reality seems to be, according to the report, the classified report that came out from NATO earlier, about 9 months ago, so they do not believe that this is primarily Taliban, that about 1 in 10 of these are Taliban-related. So most of these are personal incidents,
oh,
a deterioration
wow.
of relationships on a personal level.
Wow. Okay, any other news updates there for us?
Yes, also today, a coalition of civil rights groups has asked Pennsylvania's highest court to review a voter ID law that it says will disenfranchise over 1 million voters ahead of the presidential election in the battleground state. As you know, state judge this week rejected their challenge to the law, which requires voters to present photo ID. And the lawyer for the Advancement Project says she's requested the top court to hear oral arguments in the case during its next session, which runs September the 10th to the 14th, and the hope is that there would be a ruling before the election in November.
Yeah, my understanding with that, it's evenly split right now between Democrats and Republican with respect to the court, and that the seventh judge actually is a Republican who's now under investigation for corruption, but my understanding is that the three Democrats will probably vote this, you know, obviously unconstitutional, but there's a fourth Republican moderate that seems to be siding with Ed. Any information on that yet, Victoria?
I've heard exactly the same that you've heard, that that's the way people are leaning, but we don't know any more than that yet.
But we'll have to wait till September. You said by the 14th we should have an answer, correct?
Yes, the session runs September the 10th to the 14th, and they're asking for it to be heard then. I mean, I would think the likelihood would be that they would agree to that. Otherwise, it would be after the election, which would make it pretty much moot.
Right, at that point. But if they don't rule on it before the election, then is it enforceable as a law or no?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. All right. So we'll have to check that out. All right. Well, listen, Victoria, we appreciate the daily news update, and thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. That's Victoria Jones with Talk Radio News Service and the daily news update brought to you by the Tom Hartman Program. So we appreciate that. Okay. Let's get to some of the calls, Eric, because it's a shortened segment here, and then I'll get back and I'll do my slicing and dicing. And you got the anesthesia going for Romney and Ryan?
Yeah, I got all the machines.
You got all the machines? They're on life support? Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure they have a pulse so that when we get back, we can continue the dissection live over the airwave. Okay. Let's go next to Elaine from Buchanan, Texas, wants to talk about Julian Assange. Elaine, thank you for holding.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Mike. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I only wish that you were on free speech more so that I could hear you up here.
Thank you.
Dr. Mike, I'd like to support Julian Assange and what's going on there in a free press. And since I feel that I believe in power of the purse, I was wondering, I had an idea that maybe if we could go to the internet and boycott all of the UK products and all of the Swedish products, mm-hmm. and in the United States, perhaps we could go to the smaller locally owned shops and shop there. Maybe we could help Julian Assange to get out of this mess that he's in. And
yeah.
The other thing I was hoping is, also I was hoping we could support Ecuadorian products.
Right, because they gave him the asylum. Well, listen, those are some excellent thoughts there. And, you know, you have spoken to not only a national audience, but an international audience right now, Elaine. So people have heard your suggestion, and let's see if people take you up. We're going up against the break, so thank you for calling, Elaine. Okay, that's Elaine.
And by the way, she can listen to you online at 1480vhx.com.
There you have it. Okay, but it's only Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 6. So, okay, we'll be back at the top of the hour with more of the Tom Hartman Program. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back to the program. 6 minutes currently after the hour. This is the final stretch, Eric, for us for 3 days in a row doing the Tom Hartman Program.
It's exhausting, Mike.
No, it's not. It's exhilarating, actually.
I'm kidding. It's fun. Yeah,
it's great.
Fun.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a great opportunity. And we thank Tom from the bottom of our bleeding liberal hearts for the opportunity to fill such big shoes during these last 3 days, and then the one time a few weeks ago. So that being said, we do have a full board of callers, and I'm going to get to you guys. As I said, I did promise to do that, but we had to do our talk daily news service there. And also, I want to finish up with this dissection that we had commenced, Eric, previously. And are Romney and Ryan still doing okay?
Yeah, they're still kicking.
You check their vitals?
Still going.
All right, good, good. I wanted to make sure of that. All right, so let me just go back to this tape here, dissect the remainder of it. It's not a lot, and then we'll get to the callers here. Okay, here we go, Eric.
Think of that. What Paul Ryan and I have talked about is saving Medicare, is providing people greater choice in Medicare, making sure it's there for current seniors. No changes, by the way, for current seniors or those nearing retirement.
Okay, so that's, again, a lie. First and foremost, they're not providing greater choice. And let me explain to you why this is the case. under a Medicare Advantage plan, for instance, which they want to do. They want to get everybody out of the government-run program and into the privately-run programs. If you're in a privately-run – first of all, Eric, do you know what an open network means?
You mean for insurance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's where you can go to just about any care provider.
Yeah, absolutely. Ding, ding, ding. That's correct, Eric.
Thank you.
You advance to the next round. All right, so that's correct. An open network is where you can go to whomever you want. As long as that doctor is in good standing in the medical community, guess what? And they're enrolled in Medicare, you can go to that doctor. That is the ultimate choice that you can have, which means you go to anybody, any doctor that you want to go to, you can go to under traditional government-run Medicare. Under privately run insurance or Medicare Advantage, if you will, okay, when the private companies run it, you know what they do to that open network, Eric?
They close it, Mike.
They close it. It's absolutely right.
It's no longer open.
It's exactly. And then what they end up doing is they create a very small group, a very small network of doctors who are their preferred providers. Did you ever hear of a thing called a PPO?
Absolutely.
It's called a preferred provider network. And you know what the insurance mafia does? Is that they charge the consumer more money if you want to go into their preferred network. Do you realize that? Under Medicare, you can go to any doctor.
Right.
If a doctor's in Medicare, you can go without paying a premium. But if that very same doctor is signed up in a private insurance company, PPO, guess what the private insurance company does? Charges you more money to access that doctor. So in reality, and I will challenge any conservative, any Republican lawmaker to prove to me that when it comes to picking your doctor, what provides more choice? Is it government-run Medicare or is it the private sector? So when Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan tell you it's their goal to provide you more choice, it's an outright lie. Outright lie. And you guys could do the research yourself. If you don't believe me, go out there, look at Medicare. It's an open enrollment system. Almost every HMO that you know that's out there does not open up their network to doctors, okay? Or all doctors, I should say. So that is a lie. There is not more choice in the Medicare program under Paul Ryan, and they're not looking to save it either, okay? If they're saying that your benefits, that's the other thing he said there, that there's no reduction in benefits. They're going to keep their benefits, okay? Do you know, Eric, right now, as part of their plan, they want to do what to the Obama plan, the Affordable Care Act? They want to repeal. Yes, it rhymes with seal. They want to repeal the actual Obamacare, okay, the Affordable Care Act. If they repeal that, Eric, under the Affordable Care Act, the beneficiaries have more benefits right now. Actually, Obama closes the donut hole for prescription drugs. You get more preventive services, as I said earlier, mammograms, cancer screenings, colonoscopies, you name it. There are a lot more benefits under the Affordable Care Act. So if they repeal, as he promises on day one, Mitt Romney, I'm going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, guess what? You lose the benefits that exist currently under law because the Affordable Care Act is law of the land. And if you take away that law, that means you no longer have those benefits. Okay? So let's go forward.
But looking for young people down the road and saying, we're going to give you a bigger choice. In America, the nature of this country has been giving people more freedom, more choices. That's how we make Medicare work down the road.
But you must concede you're going to have to do a little selling on that.
My mom is a Medicare senior in Florida. Our point is we need to preserve their benefits because the government made promises then that they organize their retirements around. In order to make sure we can do that, you must reform it for those of us who are younger. And we think these reforms are good reforms. They have bipartisan origin. They started from the Clinton Commission in the late 90s.
Okay, so there you have the people who speak with forked tongue. It is absolutely true. I've just proven to you that there's not more choice, that what they want to do is limit your choice, force you into a privately run plan that does not have an open network of doctors. And also, Eric, do you also realize this about choice? As a doctor in Medicare, if I see your mom in Medicare, say she's on Medicare, and I think that your mother needs a exercise treadmill test, or she needs some type of cardiac workup. She needs to get a nuclear stress test, let's say. Okay? If I, as a doctor, feel that that's what your mom needs, I order that test. And guess what? Under Medicare, it gets done.
Right.
Under the private insurance companies, if I, as a doctor, want to order, say, something through Humana, do you know what I got to do? Mother, may I? May I, Mr. Humana, actually do this? Can I get permission to do this? I'm the doctor who's trained my entire life, 12 years after graduating high school.
They know more than you.
Right, right. But some paper pusher at the private insurance company is now telling me as a doctor what I can or cannot do. That's what's called authorization. No, that's actually called pre-authorization. Under privately run plans, you have to get pre-authorization to get a test done. Under traditional Medicare, I have the freedom, the liberty. You love those words, freedom and liberty, Mitt? Under Medicare, Mitt, I have the freedom and liberty as a doctor to do what I feel is in the best interest of that patient without any government bureaucrat interfering in that relationship. But under the private insurance company plans, I as a doctor, we as my fellow colleagues, have to ask permission to get a test. And you know why they do that, Eric? They do that to limit their outlays, to limit the actual money that they have to take. The insurance company takes in, like I said, a pool of money. Think of it like a gallon of milk. You pay in all your benefits, and that's a gallon of milk, right? Full to the top.
Milk analogy.
Full to the brim, okay? And then what the insurance companies want to do is put up as many barriers as possible so that none of that milk goes out of the carton. Because the more milk that there is in that carton, that means more profit for the private insurance company. So that's why you have to get pre-authorization, because they want to basically figure out a way to not pay for that service.
Right.
So what the point is when you hear Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan talk about government bureaucrats interfering with your health care, as I said, they're con artists. They're not conservatives. They're con artists. They're saying the opposite. It is the private insurance bureaucrat that directly interferes with the doctor-patient relationship because they don't want any of that milk going out of that carton, my friends, because the more the gallons filled at the end of the day, that means more profit for them, more money for the CEOs, hundreds of millions of dollars in salaries and benefits and packages and stock options for the CEOs, and it means less care for you. Less care for you. 15 minutes after the hour, back with your calls in a moment. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. 20 minutes currently after the hour. Let's get to the Freedom Lines right now. We got queued up Greg from Watsonville, California, and he wants to talk about the amygdala and the brain and the GOP.
Yes, Dr. Mike, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Greg.
I wanted to ask you, as a physician, I've heard a lot of talk about this, the part of our brain called the amygdala, and many people say, and Pap was talking about it last week, you know, you can't argue with these right-wingers because they're incapable of change, and a lot of that has a physiological basis.
Yeah, well, look, to a certain extent, there is a physiological basis with this, but a lot of it, I think, is quite frankly learned behavior. A lot of it is the environment that these individuals, quite frankly, were brought up in. And oftentimes, you know, these environments are not conducive to free thinking, rational, individual thought. I mean, it's usually they come from a very authoritarian, paternalistic type of family whereby the father is sort of, you know, the figure that basically says this is my way or the highway. It's not like a nurturing mother, you know, with care and compassion. It's really an environment where they grow up in fear. They grow up where they have to follow lockstep with whatever the authority says. That's why they always say they're tough on, you know, law and order and rules and regulations.
Right.
But to the point where, quite frankly, Greg, they become stifled. You know, I grew up in a very liberal household. My father and mother, you know, they were railroad workers.
Mine was not.
Yours was what?
Mine was not.
Yeah.
I mean, mine was not that authoritarian, but they weren't progressive, and I always was, so.
But the difference is that when we had talks around the dinner table and, you know, the news was always on and we got lots of newspapers, I was basically inundated when I was a kid, quite frankly, with information. I mean, my father and mother watched the news. There was newspapers around. We had vibrant discussions about labor. They were union members. And they encouraged us to think on our own, okay? They didn't indoctrinate us to say, you must think this way or you must think that way. And I think that's the difference, is that when you talk to conservatives and you see the environment that they grew up in, it's a very stifling environment where they have to, it's my way or the highway. It has nothing to do with liberty or freedom. On the contrary, conservative upbringings are the complete antithesis of what they really espouse, which is individual liberty and freedom. They're not like that. Go ahead.
But I really, in my case, for instance, you know, black people or Mexican people that I would meet, I always just had an openness to them. And other people, they'd say things that I couldn't believe, and it really wasn't just parents or anything. It just that seemed to be something. And that's why I was hearing about this amygdala is, you know, there has to be something to it.
Well, there could be some pathophysiology involved here, and we'll see. Try to get that research funded, Greg, to find the conservative gene. I think the world would be a much better place if we could find that aberrant gene. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call, Greg, and I'm going to get to some of the other callers because many people have been holding quite some time here at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. Let's go next to Florida. Eric, how's that sound? Want to go to Linda in Florida?
Sounds good to me.
All right, Linda, what's on your mind?
Well, my question is, it's about Social Security. And my question is, they're really throwing the smear and fear ads out here in Florida. And
sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
They're throwing a lot of smear and fear ads in Florida. And our seniors are completely confused as they ever were. And the money's not matching the truth. Do you see what I'm saying? But what we're getting out of it is anybody who's 55 and under, say I am a 55 and under, I'm 52.
Right.
I put into the system for 30-something years. Okay. Mm-hmm. What makes you think I'm going to pay for those seniors now because I'm not getting it? Do you see the mentality where they're going to go with this? They're going to make up an excuse after they take it away from us, the 55ers. Then they're going to come up with an excuse for the seniors where it's not fair because the younger generation doesn't get it. So you're on your own. That's where I see this going.
Well, hey, you know
exactly
what, Linda?
I see this going this way.
That's exactly where it is going. I mean, basically, what they're ultimately, again, trying to do is the fear and smear tactics, which has become part of the way that the GOP, the Republican Party, conducts its activity. You know, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard recently from Paul Ryan or Mitt Romney, anything about hope, anything about love, anything about compassion? Everything that comes from their mouths has to do with fear and doom and loathing. You know, oh, Social Security's going bankrupt. You got to privatize this. Oh, Medicare's going to go bankrupt. You got to do this. Oh, you know, Obama is a communist and he's a radical Islamist. I mean, everything that comes from the modern day GOP has nothing to do with what's about great, that what's great about the human species, what's great about our American system of government. Everything that they say is a negative thing, and this is why I think ultimately the American people are not going to embrace this. Listen, Linda, I appreciate the call about that. You're definitely on target with that, and I want to get to some of the other callers at 1-866-987-TOM. And also, during the next segment, Eric, what I want to get to, because I know we're coming out of time here, running out of time for the program, Mitt Romney claims, Eric, that what? He's a big businessman, right?
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to do it. He's worth over $250 million, $250 million, right? If you're somebody who's got those kind of credentials, you got that street cred, so to speak, Eric, wouldn't you want to think that you'd want to share that with the American public? You'd want to be transparent about it?
So, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So my point is, his tax returns are the blueprint of his economic success, right? It's his resume.
Right.
Like you'd want to put – he should put his resume on monster.com.
Right.
To show people that, look, not only am I successful, here's the proof. Here's how I did it. I did it on the up and up. I was honest. I was straightforward. I earned my money honestly. But yet, I find it ironic that Mitt Romney, rather than putting that resume that proves...
Well, obviously, he's got something to hide.
Right. He must have something to hide. Eric, if I was worth $250 million and people said, show your taxes, I'd be chomping
no
at the bit.
With it.
I'd be like, damn right I'm going to show
check
you.
Check this out.
Check this out, man. Man, look how good I am. Look at this. But when somebody doesn't want to show you that, you got to be a little circumspect, a little worried, okay? 27 minutes after the hour, back with more in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Alrighty, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour, the good doctor here, Mike Newcomb, sitting in for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, and we're going to get to the Freedom Lines here in a quick second. But Eric, just finishing up on that thought that we were talking about, that if you were worth, if I were worth, what if I was worth $250 million?
You're not?
I'm not. No, not yet. But wouldn't you honestly feel proud of that? Wouldn't you want to?
Yeah, you'd want to show the world.
You'd want to show the world.
Look what I could do.
Yeah, look what I could do. And especially if you're asking to be the president of the United States, if your whole premise is that I am such a smart businessman, I know the private sector, I know how economies work, I know how the free market works, and guess what? Here's my resume, as I said earlier. Here's my tax returns for the last 5-10 years, just to prove to you that I'm not blowing smoke, you know where, that I actually know what I'm doing. That's what you would want if you're petitioning for a job, right? If you're applying
absolutely.
For a job, doesn't every job ask for a resume?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, it's making him look bad, too.
Right.
It's making him look like he's got something to hide. Whether he does or not, I don't know. But it
right.
doesn't look good.
Imagine you applying for a job and saying, look, I turned this company around. I took it from rock bottom, and I took it from near bankruptcy to profitability and sold it for a $10 million profit, right? That sounds good, right? You're coming to me. I'm interviewing you. Then I say, all right, well, that sounds great, and I know you're telling me this, but can you show me the books? Can you show me what you did with this? Can you show me how you did it?
No, I can't.
No, I can't.
Oh, I will not.
I will not. Oh, okay. Well, hey, how about that other thing that you told me that, you know, the other company that you took, Eric, the solar wind company or, you know, the genetic company that was also almost on the verge of bankruptcy, didn't you – rescue that one, Eric, and sell
it? I did.
For like $50 million
yes,
profit?
Huge.
All right, well, let me look at that.
No.
What do you mean, no?
You can't see it. I will not turn it over to you.
But how am I supposed
to? Take my word for it.
Eric, how am I supposed to know that?
You just have to believe me. You just have to trust me, Mike.
All right, okay, I understand. Well, look, forget about that. But I do remember, though, when you told me you played professional baseball and you hit 55 home runs that
That's
year.
That's right.
That's amazing. Do you mind if can I see some of the video of some of those powerful home runs?
No.
Why not?
You just have to trust me.
Oh, so you...
I want you to trust me.
Oh,
I'm
so I see.
Truth.
So the whole thing here is just not to necessarily for you to prove to me what you did, but just to trust. Take your word for
Take
it.
Take my word for it. I'm a very honest guy. Just believe me.
I got you. All right, so now I understand what written up.
Good.
Romney's
now
saying.
We can move forward.
Now we can move forward. Forget who needs his tax returns now. I don't need it. I mean, I'll just trust the guy. Well, I'd like to trust him, Eric, but see, I have another audio clip that I'd like to play here.
Oh.
Because, you know, Mitt Romney is such a great businessman that
you're bursting my Mitt bubble.
I know, but you know, he's gonna get rid of the budget deficit, right? He's gonna solve the economy's problems.
And he also said he's gonna get rid of foreign oil in its first term. That's a pretty big bold statement.
Well, listen, if he's gonna solve the problems, Eric, then clearly, at least if he's not gonna show us how he's done things in the past, at least he's gonna give us a blueprint, right? Now to show
no.
us. You don't think so?
You can't see that either.
Well, I'm not sure. Let's listen to Mitt Romney's business gurus, because I'm pretty confident that if he has a plan and he wants to be president of the most prosperous nation in the world, that he knows what he's doing. This guy's worth $250 million. He knows what he's doing, and I guarantee he's got a plan. He's going to show us how he's doing, okay? Let's see.
I don't know exactly what a balance is because we haven't – I don't want to get wonky on you, but – we haven't run the numbers on that specific plan.
How many years would it take for the Romney budget to result in a balanced budget? Wolf, I'm not sure of that myself, actually.
When are you going to tell us where you're going to get the revenue?
Well, we'll go through that process with Congress.
Will we soon see a plan that's specific about which loopholes to close?
That is something that we think we should do in the light of day through Congress.
Oh, wait a second, Eric. These two guys, Romney and Ryan, have a plan.
But they won't tell us.
But they're not going to tell us. So this very successful businessman, who's worth $250+ million, won't tell us how he got his money, where he got his money, or whether or not he actually paid his fair share of taxes legally. Then on top of that, he's going to fix our economy and our business, take it from near bankruptcy like he did all the other companies, but he's not going to tell us how to do it. So we're supposed to just,
he's
once again,
dismantle it like everything else.
We're supposed to trust him again, right, Eric? This is all about, maybe that should be Mitt Romney's
slogan, campaign slogan.
Forget about it. Trust me. Forget about it. Just trust. Forget about it.
Take my word for it.
Trust me. So now Ed Gillespie, you remember Ed Gillespie? He was, you know, former RNC guy and, you know, very powerful guy, well respected. Okay. You heard a little bit of a mini clip there, Eric, from Ed Gillespie, but let's see what he has to say in the more extended interview, because he is a surrogate for Mitt Romney. He's one of the top advisors of Mitt Romney. And if Mitt Romney's not willing to tell us how he's going to balance the budget and when, you would think Ed would at least have the courtesy to do that, right?
Well, you think somebody would have.
Somebody would.
Somebody would have some answers.
Right.
Some
hopeful that somebody in the Romney campaign, if it's not.
We hope they actually do know something.
Yeah, if it's not Mitt Romney, if it's not Paul Ryan, then it must be one of the surrogates, okay, who have been briefed on the plan and can go out there and evangelize. Just like Jesus, right? Jesus, think of it like, you know, his apostles. I mean, Jesus gave the word to his apostles, and then what did they do?
They spread the word.
They went out and evangelized the good word, and people loved the good word, right? They trusted Jesus because Jesus had a message. Let's see what the apostle Ed Gillespie has to say and how he evangelizes Mitt Romney's plan to reduce the budget deficit, right, to perform a miracle. He's going to convert bankruptcy into solvency. Let's see.
How many years would it take for the Romney budget to result in a balanced budget? Wolf, I'm not sure of that myself, actually. I'll get that to you, though, and I'm sure it's on our website. I should know it. I'm embarrassed on your air that I don't have that number at the top of my head. I didn't know we were going to talk about that today. I apologize for it. We'll get the number. We'll tell our viewers. Question. I didn't know you were going to ask. No, budget deficits and balanced budgets, national debt, obviously a very important issue.
He didn't have it on the top of his head. I don't think it's in
He didn't expect that curveball, really.
Right, Eric. That's a knuckleball he threw him. Yeah, the budget deficit, which is, you know, really rarely talked about on the campaign trail.
Right.
I mean, it's not really a big issue, right? I mean, Paul Ryan's whole pick as the vice president nominee was predicated on the fact that he knows how to get the budget in order and they love his budget, but he didn't really know.
Think of it right this second.
On the top of his head. Do you think it's in the middle of his head or way down in the head? Or
way in the back.
In the back of the head. He just can't get it out right now. It's unbelievable.
Filed away.
And when you hear a pregnant pause for like 2 or 3 seconds followed by the word "ah," that's usually a sure sign that you really don't have the answer. Let me just go back and just play that first part just so the listeners can hear. It's called the pregnant pause, and we're known for that here in Arizona because our governor, when she was running for governor, is the best at it. Because her pregnant pause was like what, like 20 seconds?
And then she can't even construct sentences.
Right. So, but here it is. One more time, just so you can listen.
How many years would it take for the Romney budget to result in a balanced budget?
One thousand.
Wolf, I'm not sure of that
right,
myself.
There it is. There it is. And then you had Mr. Paul Ryan, when he was asked the question, what did he say? Not to get wonky on you. I mean, is that like sort of the verb now? He's actually made it a verb, an action, to get wonky.
Is it even a word?
Yeah, wonkish is a word, sure. Okay. But he said to get wonky. It's like, you know, instead of getting jiggy with it, he didn't want to get wonky with it. So that, again, getting wonky with it to me is the political equivalent of, it's just a more sophisticated sort of, you know, charlatan way of doing it. Okay. Anyway, so those are some of the clips I wanted to share with the audience just so you have that as fodder to go out there and fight these right-wing lunatics out there. Let's get back to the Freedom Lines right now. Let's go next to David, who's been holding for some time, and he wants to talk about things in Medicare and things that he remembers. Houston, Texas. David, welcome.
Actually, my topic was fascism.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to read for you a brief dictionary definition of fascism, which describes to a T today's Republican Party.
Absolutely.
The dictionary definition of fascism is an authoritarian and nationalistic right-wing system of government and social organization characterized by authoritarian or intolerant views or practices. It tends to include a belief in the supremacy of one national or ethnic group, a contempt for democracy, witness the Republicans' recent voter suppression efforts, and an obedience to a powerful leader and a strong demagogic approach. Does that sound familiar?
That sounds like Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and Ayn Rand all wrapped up in one, the trifecta.
Regarding the demagogic approach, take a look at the demagogues. The Republican Party is it's one big demagogue. Sarah Palin, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to expose these people for what they are and stop coddling them and being polite and calling them fascists.
No, hey, there's an article out there that I have somewhere in my folders, but it's the 14 signs of fascism.
I've seen that.
I know you do, have you seen that? And it's exactly kind of what you were saying, how the media then goes into cahoots with the corporations, then
exactly.
Goes into cahoots with the government, and that's exactly what you see. You see that there's a conservative network of media outlets, Fox News, conservative talk radio is practically 85%, 90%. You know, conservative, and then you get them married up with the corporations and the lobbyists and the big money's interest, and you're right, that's exactly fascism, and that's what it is. Listen, I appreciate the call there, 44 minutes currently after the hour, my friends. When we get back, we're going to get to the conclusion of the show here. This is the final segment that we'll be having for the day, and the Freedom Express is pulling up to the final stop, the final destination, so definitely stay with us, and we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman Program live from 1480 KPHX, our local progressive talk station.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Okay, welcome back, my friends. This is our final segment for the day as the Freedom Express pulls up to its final stop, its final destination for the week. And before we get to your calls in the final segment, I also want to take this opportunity to thank not only Tom Hartman. As many of you know, Tom is the premier progressive talker, not only in this nation, but probably worldwide, a man of many, many accomplishments and an incredible human being. And I think, you know, we are very lucky here at 1480 KPHX to have Tom as part of our local progressive talk family. But also you, the listeners, have a very, very special person and should cherish that. And I'm sure you all do. So I want to thank Tom. But I also, Eric, want to take the opportunity to thank Tom's staff. They've been an incredible staff to work with. Staff to work with. And they have made this transition on short notice, you know, incredibly easy. They've worked overtime for us. They've helped us out. They, you know, did incredible production, incredible technical work. And oftentimes you don't hear about people who are working behind the scenes, my friends, but they are also critical to this. And I just want to take the time out to make sure, without having to name each and every individual that's part and parcel of the Tom Hartman Show, that they are recognized. They work very hard to make this an incredibly, incredibly successful program, at, you know, the number one progressive talk show in the nation. So for those individuals, you know who you are. I've worked with you throughout the last 3 days and the last several weeks. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, too, for making this happen and making this an enjoyable, exhilarating experience. So that being said, Eric, I want to get this in because this is very important, too, the final sort of piece to the puzzle here. We talked about Mitt Romney. We talked about Paul Ryan, you know, lying to the American people, not being forthright, totally mischaracterizing the Medicare program, the government-run program, totally withholding information about their tax returns, okay, not being forthright about his business dealings. And this thing that I saw last night on the Rachel Maddow Show, I thought just was absolutely dead spot on. And I want to play this clip because this is Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan literally tripping over each other's feet with the respect with respect to who stands for what. And within a matter of literally 4 days, completely flip-flopping and contradicting themselves on very big issues such as the budget deficit and the Ryan plan and the Romney plan. And these are supposed to be the guys who have the solutions for our economic woes, right? They're the ones who are going to take us from the brink of bankruptcy to solvency and prosperity. So that being said, let's listen to this clip here, and then I'll get your final calls, and we'll conclude the program for the week. Okay? You ready, Eric?
Yes, Mike.
Let's do it.
I mean, in his first big interview after announcing Paul Ryan as his running mate, Mr. Romney right away started to try to run away from the kill Medicare Paul Ryan plan.
Your campaign has been trying to make this election a referendum on Barack Obama. Now, some people are saying you are making it a referendum on Paul Ryan's budget plan.
Well, I have my budget plan, as you know, that I've put out, and that's the budget plan that we're going to run on.
Ryan who? Budget one? I have my own plan. That was Sunday. But then the very next day, Mr. Romney started running on the Paul Ryan budget, even specifically on the kill Medicare part of the Paul Ryan budget.
The items that we agree on, I think, outweigh any differences there may be. My plan for Medicare is very similar to his plan for Medicare.
Aha. So Sunday, it's my plan, not his plan. Monday, our plans are the same. Then Tuesday, it turns out, once again, they're totally different. Watch. It
gets curiouser.
This is from MittRomney.com, and it sounds awfully like the Paul Ryan Medicare plan.
But it's very different.
Okay, so Sunday, it's my plan, not his plan. Monday, the plans are the same. Tuesday, the plans are very different. Wednesday? On Wednesday, a local reporter in Wisconsin asked Mr. Romney why he was running away from his running mate's plan. So Mr. Romney then started running on the Paul Ryan kill Medicare plan again.
Why now are you distancing yourself, at least from the Medicare portion of the Ryan budget?
Actually, Paul Ryan and my plan for Medicare, I think, is the same. If not identical, it's probably close to identical.
Yay! So that's 4 days.
All right. So in 4 days span, Eric, you could see the incredible, incredible volatility and just like a roller coaster of whose plan is what, et cetera. And amidst all of this,
I'm very confused.
You don't know what their plan is. But when asked,
I don't know what their plan
is. But remember the clip I played previously when asked about your budget plan and when does it get to basically solvency? When do we get to balance the budget? Nobody knew. Mitt Romney didn't know. Paul Ryan didn't want to get wonky on you. You know, Ed Gillespie, the surrogate, said it wasn't at the top of his head. So here we are about 80 days outside of the election, and not only are they tripping over each other's feet as far as whose plan is what, but then when asked specifically what your plan is and when does it balance the budget, nobody knows.
I don't have that figure right now.
But you know what, Eric? I trust you.
Believe in me.
I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. All right. And look, it says in God we trust. It doesn't say in Romney we trust, okay?
Admit we trust.
Admit we trust. I mean, I think if he had his way, he'd like to change the verbiage, Eric, to admit we trust. So, all right, listen, let's get to some of the callers here and conclude today's program. And let's just, we'll probably only take one call or two because we don't really have a whole lot of time left. Let's go to Eric in North Carolina. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing? Nice to be on.
Thank you.
Right, well, I wanted to speak real quickly. I was at the one where Bob Schaefer did that interview in High Point. I was actually at that event. And, unfortunately, there are only about 25 people on our quote unquote side, to protest this stuff. But, I just say it's so important that we just raise our voices. I walked back and forth, past the line of people that are waiting to see this event with a simple little sign and a simple statement saying, you're supporting a tax cheat and a bad Catholic.
All right, well, listen, you got the last word there. Unfortunately, I do got to run right now. So, again, from the bottom of my bleeding liberal heart, thank you very much. And remember, dream as though you'll live forever and live as though you can die today.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartman.com.